This is the Blog Pirate Podcast for the week of October 23rd, 2006. This is episode 5, All the News That's Fit to Drink. We got a very special guest, Jake Jameson from LiquorSnob.com.
Blog Pirate Podcast is sponsored by CoffeeWiz.com. Get the latest Keurig K-Cups, coffee pods for your Senseo, and T-Diz for your Tassimo at CoffeeWiz.com.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. We've missed you. I'm Russell Miner.
I'm Jay Brewer.
And today we have a very special guest in-house, in the studio, Jake Jameson from LiquorSnob.com.
How's it going, everybody?
Hello, Jake. Welcome. Good to have you.
Welcome, Jake.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
All right.
Glad to be here. He put quotes around that.
Air I quotes. Put quotes.
Yeah.
Because he is the liquor snob, not...
Oh, the liquor snob?
That was the air quotes. Mm.
Very nice. So, for those of you who have no idea who the hell Jake is, obviously here at the Blog Pirate, we've covered a lot of different sites, and one of the sites that we cover all the time, because it's one of our favorites, is LiquorSnob.com. And in addition, we have another site we cover called CheapFunWines.com. And they're obviously both related to liquor and wine, respectively, covering a lot of different things. Jake is actually the editor-in-chief of both sites right now, and he's got his little army of interns and himself, and together they're covering all the news that's fit to drink.
I sure do. It's you know, it's kind of my job to keep the interns honest, to make sure I'm fact-checking what they have to, what they're writing about.
Fact-checking?
Yeah.
Jake, are all the interns 21 and older?
Obviously, we have
nice.
We make them all sign releases, and I photocopy their IDs.
Nice.
So, if you're like fact checking, does that mean you're just getting drunk every night?
Mostly, I usually just take whatever they've reviewed or covered, and then I have a drink of it and see if I
on average, it. Like, how full is your cupboard of the alcohol?
I think I've got. At the Liquor Snob offices, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 or 60 half to full bottles of liquor.
Mostly half.
Mostly half. Mostly half.
Some of them are much less than half.
Sometimes I just put a nipple right on the top of the bottle.
Nice.
Drink out of it.
Wow. Wow.
So let's talk with you a little bit about, you know, just sort of who the hell are you? You know, you're Jake Jameson. We've covered that part.
Mm-hmm, yep.
How did you get involved with LiquorSnob.com?
Well, it's a pretty simple story. Kind of a Cinderella story.
Cinderella.
I do...
you
I do,
are ugly. Oh wait. This You're not
true.
The stepsister.
I do like to take a drink every once in a while. So I was talking to my good friend Jay over here. And
that's me.
We were kind of talking about things that I could do for the Blog Pirate. And, you know, what could we do? We kind of ballparked some ideas and just threw some things
and
out.
And we were like, no one is covering... Liquor.
Liquor. And all of a sudden, it was just like this big, giant neon light bulb went on over our heads. We were like, no one's covering liquor. Let's do it. And it's interesting now, since we started Liquor Snob, there have been quite a few other liquor blogs that we've seen sort of coming up.
Yep.
And
But back then, within the first month, I mean, typically we get good response to blogs, you know, like, hey, it's a new topic. People get, you know, whatever. Other bloggers get excited about it. Liquor Snob, like, was... like phenomenal right from the get-go. Any story we sent out literally would get picked up because they're like, there's no one covering this news. And Jake, funny guy that he is, actually writes stuff that's really good.
Yeah, excellent writing, definitely.
And would find stuff that you just would blow your mind from, like, you know, beer boots or, I don't know, ski poles filled with alcohol.
Yep.
And
don't forget the flip-flops that open your beer.
The products and then just all the alcohol and the reviews and the fact that he could get so many interns to write for him, you know, and it just, you know, it took right off. And that was like last fall, was that it?
Was it? Last fall, around August, September, something like that.
Whirlwind.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Happy 1 year anniversary.
Why, thank you.
A little belated.
Yeah, well, you know, it's good to celebrate me every once in a while.
Excellent. So now that you've been doing this, what do you think, you know, what's the best part and the worst part of covering liquor?
the best part is a lot of times I actually do a lot of my editing and writing in the morning before I, you know,
drink.
Go off.
You can't drink and write.
Yeah, no. You really can't. That's tough. So, you know, you do it the next day. So the best part is the actual reviewing and drinking of the booze the next day when maybe you had one or two too many. The writing about it and having to think
clearly
about the stuff that you tested the day before, that can get a little touch and go sometimes. But all in all, you know, I think the best part is just being able to try new stuff. Very, you know, we kind of try to cater to people who are adventurous and want to try new booze. I mean, we've uncovered some really interesting stuff. We found this stuff called Agua de Bolivia, which is made with coca leaves. We have another, we found a sort of Jägermeister substitute called Kill Pitch. Just, you know, some really strange things. And then we have also covered just your typical, regular, like, vodka or something. Like, we found Tito's handmade vodka from down in Texas.
And
tell people that you're bringing over a bottle of Texas vodka, they kind of laugh at you until they try it, and they realize that it's some of the better vodka that they've had.
Yeah, what's insane about the people that contact Liquor Snob, you know, about getting their liquor reviewed, it's like they can be really small, they can be big. Typically, there's so many niche players with, you know, 8-Ball Vodka was once a small vodka, is now a big vodka. And a lot of the other manufacturers like Tito's and whatever, like, they're not, like, giant, big places. They're some guy who's passionate about making exceptional tequila, you know, or whatever. And essentially, they're looking for an outlet to just communicate with somebody that they've got this really great product. And, I mean, not only that, like, all the absinthe stuff and, like, things that you can get that are, you know, now liquor, you can buy it from state to state. So a lot of these smaller little guys, you can actually get their alcohol, like,
sure.
sent and delivered to you, like, post, you know, in the post.
In the post.
But it is pretty wild, like, just how they're not, like, Uber conglomerates. It's not like you're, Canadian Mist is calling Jake every day and being like, hey, we've got a new version of Canadian Mist now with cranberry. You know, it's like they're all really different, and I've had my fair share of little samples, you know, over in Liquor Snob offices as well.
Now, what do you think about, you know, the fact that, do you think that in the recent past, or let's say, you know, maybe the last 5 years, the last, you know, relatively recent past, that you've had more, that you notice more quality and more opportunity in the liquor stores as far as the different kinds of liquors and things? Because maybe I'm crazy, but it feels like there's more.
There's been
there.
Kind of a relaxation of the rules when it comes to starting your own distillery. In the last couple of years, it used to be really, really tough to get a license to open your own distillery. You could pretty much anybody could start a brewery, even a winery, if you had the access to the grapes. But distilleries were tough, so now they've kind of relaxed that, and you're seeing a lot more little boutique distilleries around where people are making their own vodka, they're making their own gin, they're you know,
sorry to cut in, but Jay turned off his mic and that silenced Jake. But Jake's basically going to be talking about Cachaça Dave, which is a guy who went to Brazil to find out about an interesting drink called cachaça.
He went to Brazil and found this cachaça, which is a Brazilian rum that they make it right out of sugar cane instead of molasses. And he just is very, very passionate. So he's going to other countries, finding something that's really great there, and then just going to town with it. And I think he's going to go number one with a bullet. He makes a really good product. And,
wow.
You know, he's kind of head-to-head with this other brand called Leblon, which is a another cachaça, which is, you know, they've got millions of dollars in marketing and all this stuff.
Yep.
And he's kind of doing it as his second job. So it's kind of tough for him to get in the saturation that they have. But I just, you know, he's doing a really good job of just getting the word out there, and he'll even bring a bottle of Leblon and just do a, you know, the Pepsi challenge with his,
yeah,
with his own stuff.
Like, much like much like importing with coffee, like importing with different spirits has, like, eased up. It's like there's little alliances, there's, like, groups of people that, like, import stuff and, like, make it a lot easier to get it out of the, especially out of South America. And, you know, and not only that, just the sheer amount of domestic distilleries, winemakers, like, everybody. And, you know, I mean, if you, and you, I, and also, like, if everyone doesn't know, you're not only, like, Liquor Snob, but you also take care of Cheap Fun Wines, and the interns from Liquor Snob actually They're
universal drugs.
They take care of Chief Fun's wines. We've seen the same thing in the wines where it's just like, you know, it's just uncoverable from the sheer amount of varieties, you know, types of wine, corking, non-cork, twist-off.
Yeah,
you know,
Boxo.
Boxo wine that we covered last time. I mean, it's just crazy. So, I mean, so are you ever sober?
We should check my blood alcohol right now, actually.
I'll get the Breath-O-Mate out.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the Alcohawk?
It's kind of fun.
Alcohawk, that's what it was, yeah.
It's kind of fun. The Liquor Snob interns and the Chief Fun Wines interns, they're kind of, they compete with each other a little bit. But, you know, it's a friendly rivalry.
Pulling a little Steve Jobs there, trying to get everybody.
Yeah, we consider the over at Liquor Snob, we consider Chief Fun Wines to be sort of a splinter cell, I guess you'd call it. But they're doing a really good job. And, you know, it's a little bit slower over there. There's just such, like you were saying, there's just such a saturation. You just kind of get option paralysis. Like, there's so much, what do I cover?
Sure.
So we're still trying to hit our stride over there, but it's, you know, you should definitely check out the site and sort of see us get where we're going, because I think we're really starting to understand the wine industry, understand all the different stuff. And we did take a field trip to Sonoma a couple weeks ago, and we found better wine in gas stations there than we found in the liquor stores here. So it was, you know, we're broadening our
gas
horizons.
Gas station wine.
Yeah.
I'm getting that right now.
Nice. All right. You know, we've been talking a little bit about liquor. What else could we possibly talk about next except
babies? Yeah, definitely babies.
So let's go. Let's take a look. We got a brand new site that's launching. It's called
SuperCoolBaby.com. And SuperCoolBaby keeps you up to date on just about everything you need to raise a baby in the modern age. So that's, you know, you got to have the best stroller, cool diaper bags, better toys. You have to actually play with your children. In the modern age.
Wait, you mean Baby Einstein videos are not all
you
that I need
just,
to raise my child?
Actually, I'm sure that there is a camp of parents out there that think putting your baby in front of an Einstein video is enough. And I'm probably not one of them. All right, but we're really excited. This week we launched SuperCoolBaby.com, and it's Peter and Laura. Laura from Shirt Snob, actually, is now a mother, and Peter is now a father.
Yay!
He actually participates in the Critical Gamers board game
testing,
kind of game
focus
testing
group.
Focus groups. And as new parents, they found it kind of daunting to figure out what products to buy, you know, what stuff that they were going to need and what they weren't going to need. And so what Peter said was what the web was missing was a place to find what you really need to buy for your baby and what baby products are more interesting and cool for you and your child. And that's the other thing, like, you know, it's kind of hard to get, like, the cool factor, but, you know, essentially there are better things that you can get. There are things that make you look less like a dad dork versus, like, more like a cool dad. And when you drop, you know, when you drop the kid off at daycare, you don't want to be lugging the spiral stripe bag. You might want the daddy diaper bag that sort of, like, screams, that's a little sophisticated dad right there, you know, a little something nicer.
Sure.
So, you know, Super Cool Baby, they've been covering, you know, rugs and strollers and sneakers and toys and skull clothing for your child. And that's the other thing. It's like, you know, you don't have to dress your kid in, like, pink and blue. You can pretty much, in the modern baby age, you know, put your kid in the same crap you're wearing. I mean, I wear Gamago shirts, Gamago.com.
Big fans.
Big fans. And I can basically... I left my daughter this morning, and she was wearing a giant skeleton skateboarding on her
nice.
On the front of her shirt, doing basically like a, I think it was doing like an ollie air, like, you know, with a kick out, like
yeah.
Sweet move. And I think that's why SuperCoolBaby.com is going to be so awesome, is that, you know, people want to know where to get the stuff to have cool kids.
Yeah,
you know?
It's really cool to see people kind of taking an active role in parenting too, and not doing what my parents did, was just soak a rag in whiskey and leave me in a dark room. So
right.
It's
I
nice.
Mean, tastes good, but
yeah.
Look what happens.
You can't hug whiskey.
Exactly.
Yeah, I actually did send one thing this week to Laura and Peter. I was like, this maybe you guys could have a horrifying Friday or something. You know, like. products
you should never get.
Baby toupees.
I've seen that. And, amazing.
You
know, so babies, not my kid did not lose her hair. She had hair from like day one all the way up through. But the majority of kids that you see up and through like 2 years, they can look like they've really been like singed by a fire, or they've lost most of their hair, or something has happened to their hair that just isn't like hair friendly. Along comes this, you know,
entrepreneur.
Yep. Makes toupees for babies. Some, you know, there's a total of four available. The Donald, the Bob, the Little Kim, and the Samuel L.
The Samuel L is great. The Donald is fantastic. If I ever have a child, I'm going to...
So you can see here on Baby Toupee.
Wow.
This is from supercoolbaby.com. The Samuel L is like basically kind of like him in... Reservoir Dogs.
Pulp Fiction.
Yep. The Donald, that's Donald Trump. The Bob, little Bob,
Bob Marley,
Marley action.
Dreads.
And the little Kim,
it's pink.
It's pink. I see that. I like it. It's a lot of hair.
Yeah. So that's not like you'd wear it to kind of pretend that your baby had hair. It's more like, no, we're actually just going to throw some hair on there so it looks cute. I mean,
I think it's a spoof. Like kind of fun thing, but you know there's somebody out there who's taken it to be like maybe this is the way their kid could look. I don't know. Do you
I
think
bet it would be fun
true?
Like around Halloween, you know, throw a
that's
wig on.
That's why I said that actually I was thinking it's kind of a funny Halloween gag, but
I've been to that site and I really want to find out if it's real because they have a shopping cart and the whole thing, but you're just kind of like, can I really order this?
Should I really put my credit card on this hoax?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Some other cool things on Super Cool Baby. They have been covering all kinds of, like, these little kitchenettes and things. Now, I know that this has been a daunting thing. I have a daughter. I've been trying to, like, find the right cooking kitchen, you know, toy kitchen.
Kind of like an Easy Bake Oven? Is that what you're referring
to?
No,
it's like the one where it's like a stand-up with a grill and
okay,
the stuff,
sure.
And she can put stuff in the
oven.
But
it's not really, it doesn't actually cook anything. It's just plastic stuff, right? It's all
in her mind, it cooks things.
Oh, okay. That's
all right.
Fine.
All right.
I'm sorry.
In the mind of a child, it cooks things.
I didn't mean to crush
your hopes. Like wonder. Okay.
Sorry.
But they've covered like this French kitchenette, and basically it has little carrots and mushrooms. It's got forks and knives and spatulas and saucepans, and it's made out of wood. So it's not like some, you know, it's not uber expensive, but it's also not like, you know, your kid could chew on this and get some good wood. Not like plastic, you know. You don't want to mean ABS plastic, but you get what I'm saying. It's nice. It's going to be better in your playroom than just some giant, I'm going to fade in the sun piece of plastic.
Interesting. You know? Now, Jake, you don't have any children, right?
Not that he knows of.
Yeah. If you did have any children that you did know of, would you get them like a little bar set? Like
yeah.
A little baby bar set?
Probably. I'm sure you can find some good miniature jiggers and shakers.
I think this cookware for kids could... You could maybe make that,
would work.
Like a, what do you call that thing, the round thing in a cocktail?
Oh, the thing like the strainer piece? Like
strainer piece, yeah. That kind of looks like that.
That could work.
Anyways, we're going to be having Laura and Peter on from supercoolbaby.com, who can actually talk intelligently about this and not whatever. As my whole goal with this seems to be to get cool t-shirts for my daughter.
Nice.
Okay, supercoolbaby.com.
Let's take a few minutes and go back to Jake. Jake, my friend, talk to us a little bit about Liquor Snob. What's something interesting going on right now?
Well, we've had sort of an unofficial tequila week this week. We got in a box of three different tequilas from our friends at Fina Estampa. We got a Blanco. A Reposado.
Reposado.
And we got an Añejo, I believe.
Añejo.
Yes.
If we pronounce that wrong, you can mail us at podcast@blogfire.com.
Reposado, Añejo.
Wow, I didn't know you played the mandolin.
Yeah, that's very nice. So anyway, they sent us this stuff. The Blanco is just a white tequila. It's like basically they just distill the agave, throw it into a bottle.
What is it that makes tequila special first? Let's start there.
Well, tequila can only be made in one place. It can only be made
kind of like champagne.
There's actually a guy here in the States who makes a product, and he wanted to call it Temecula. He's from Temecula, California, and had his own agave plants.
And as we all know, agave plants are what make the liqueur in tequila. But they won't let him call him that, so like, what is he calling it now?
So now he calls it J.B. Wagoner's 100% Blue Agave Spirits. Which doesn't really
that
roll
has
off
a certain
tongue.
Ring, doesn't
yeah.
it?
It really rolls off the tongue.
Yeah,
actually.
It's nice.
It's very nice.
But anyway, so the Blanco is just, you know, it's just the kind of the raw spirit. Then the Reposado, they put it into oak barrels. A lot of times they're old bourbon casks I've heard of people using, but put them into oak barrels, and the Reposado is aged for 2 to 2 months to about a year. And then the Añejo is usually anywhere up to about 3 years, and I've heard people going aging it as long as 7 years and things like that to really get the sort of oaky flavor into it that takes kind of the burn off the initial younger tequila and gives it more of a almost a scotch or a sherry kind of a feel. It tastes a little smokier. It's really nice. And, you know, generally from what I've heard, that resting it for any longer than 5 years is pretty much, there's no need to do it except to just say, hey, we did ours for 7 years.
Sure.
You know?
Now, what's the third one? The Añejo.
The Añejo, that's the one that anywhere up to 3 to 5
years.
Oh,
I see. That's
even
longer one.
The Reposado is up to a year.
I gotcha.
Añejo is pretty much anything after that.
So what do you think, you know, when you have the Blanco, like, what are your initial reactions on sort of that very straightforward flavor?
With the Fina Estampa, I really liked the fact it's very kind of got a peppery feel to it. You can
like hot pepper?
Like black pepper.
Okay.
Now, is there... And I'll say it, is there a worm in every bottle of tequila, or is that just a few?
They do not put worms in any bottles of tequila. That's only in mezcal, which is another type of
liquor.
Who
knew?
So basically, I actually made the mistake. I alienated some mezcal and tequila fans about a year ago. I did a roundup on tequila, and I called mezcal the bastard cousin of tequila, which didn't make any friends.
Was this at the time that you did the scorpion vodka?
The scorpion mezcal, yeah.
Did you eat the scorpion?
I have not eaten the scorpion yet. I'm saving that for a special occasion.
All right.
I hope it's when you're already wasted, because I wouldn't eat a scorpion, thank you.
So, yeah, we do have scorpion mezcal, which... So, basically, mezcal is a little bit less refined. It's distilled a little bit less, from my understanding. So a lot of times it's a little more fiery, it's got a little more...
So tequila drinkers and mezcal, and especially if you're a tequila snob, let's say, you don't like being, like, compared to a mezcal.
It depends. I mean, some people like both. They're very similar, but they're very different at the same time. I can't really explain it other than the fact that one's got a little more fire to it and one's been distilled a little more, so it seems like it's a bit more refined. And
like tequila, you can actually sip tequila. Mezcal?
Yeah, it's definitely doable. The people at Scorpion Mezcal actually they do the same thing. They do a Blanco, they do a Reposado, and they do an Añejo. So you can get a Scorpion Mezcal that's been aged for 5 years or whatever.
Liquor snob.
See.
Dispelling the myths.
Yeah, so...
Giving the truth.
The thing about the worms is sometimes a worm would get into a bottle of mezcal. It's just, you know, it's just...
They sure. Live, they eat right through the cork?
They live in the hearts of the agave plants.
Oh. Wait, don't they, like, I don't know,
how would
smash
that not
up
get
the
filtered
plant?
Out?
Or like...
Well, they generally do. Then this guy, I don't remember his name, it started off... There's a couple different myths about it, but it started off basically from what I've read.
Johnny Appleseed.
Exactly.
Johnny Mezcal.
Johnny Mezcal. He realized that... you know, he needed sort of a marketing gimmick to get mezcal.
Yeah, very clever.
Works for me.
So he started dropping the worm in there. And some people say that it does actually hold a purpose in the fact that you know that the mezcal hasn't been watered down if the worm stays whole. Because if there's not enough alcohol content, the worm won't be preserved and it'll start to break down.
Ooh.
It'll start to rot.
That is nasty.
Yes. So.
But interesting.
Yeah. So the preservation.
Was there like a worm in my bottle of mezcal? Where did it go? Oh, I think you drank the whole thing. you've had the worm?
I have eaten the worm.
Wow.
How'd that work out?
Yeah.
Not as well as you might think.
Oh, it did not sit well.
I think the
did it just
three
decide?
Quarters of a bottle of mezcal that I drank did not sit well.
It was one or the other, not sure.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah, that was a day that the liquor wife had to sort of put her arm around me and carry me home. But
it's a good wife
story
right there.
For another time, I think. Anyway, I really want to get back to Fina Estampa.
Yeah, back to Fina.
Sorry for that, but I've always wanted to know.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, you know, I actually picked up a book called Alcoholica Esoterica.
Right.
And it's got tons of little facts like that, and it breaks it down by spirit category, and it gives you, like, sort of the rundown of what it's all about. And then it just has, like, pages of useless information, like things that are cool to talk about, like right now. That's kind of where I picked up some of my information that I was just doing.
Right.
Great book. Worth checking out. I have it back at the office if you want to check it out.
That office.
Fina Estampa. I really liked their Blanco. I mean, that's what we started off with. It's, you know, unaged. It's very peppery. It's got some good fire to it, but it's not one of those things where you have the burn after you're done with it. Like, you're, you know, you feel like someone's pouring jet fuel down your throat.
How'd you drink it? Did you do, like, the lime thing, or did you just sip it?
We always, when we're doing the reviews, we just sip it straight first.
Yeah.
And then we'll try a few other things, put it on the rocks, put some stuff in it. But I just had it straight. And it was very, very tasty. I really liked it a lot. The Reposado had a little bit more. I called it the tweener of the, you know,
sure.
Tweens are a huge demographic. You know, all the marketers are going after tweens right now. Like, the kids are like 8 to 12. And I would call this
all the
tween.
Liquor marketers, you mean?
No, just marketers in general.
Gotcha.
And this is the tween tequila, because it's kind of a little bit bratty. It's a little, you know, it's not quite as cultivated as the Añejo, but it's very worth paying attention to.
Now you basically called that this had just the right amount of sass.
Yes, yeah, and someone called me out on that in the comments, actually.
Yeah, and then the guy writes in, good review, though I cannot agree with another man making the use of sass as an adjective to describe tequila. I get this all the time, too, on the coffee site. Like, I'll take some picture is not exactly color-corrected for the crema on the top, or I'll use some adjective or something, and then They just trundle in. But
yeah.
He loves your reviews, and they usually just want to write in to kind of noodle at you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you just kind of, when you're writing so many things about liquor, you don't want to just say the same thing.
Yeah,
so you
sure.
try to use a little slightly different adjective. You try to, you know, sass up your review a little bit. And that's, you know, I guess I shot myself in the foot with that one. But
I think it's great.
It's hysterical.
What did you think of the Añejo?
Añejo was very good. It was, like, kind of very smoky, tasted almost kind of like sherry, even.
Really?
Very, very cultivated. That stuff's around $50 a bottle, and it's worth picking up. There's a list of states on liquorsnob.com where you can actually get yourself a bottle.
Yeah, so you can get this stuff in, like, Oregon, California, Idaho, Colorado, New Mexico, Michigan, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, New York, New Jersey, Indiana, Illinois. These must be the cool states to live in.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and we are not one of them.
You know, I had people go into the site to go check out what states it was available in, and then you just give it away for free. So, yeah.
Wow.
I guess there's no reason to ever go to liquorsnob.com.
I guess not. Although,
except all the other cool things that you're not reading.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Exactly. No, I'm just fooling around.
Oregon, California, Idaho, Colorado.
If you're going to name all 50, you can stop now.
We actually have
read the review now.
We actually have a new intern, intern Damien, who is kind of our...
Damien.
Santos.
Dominus.
Dominus.
He is our tequila correspondent. Basically.
How appropriate.
Yeah.
The devil's liquor.
Yeah, really. And he's...
Sorry, el
knows,
diablo's liquor.
Let's just say he
el
knows
diablo.
His way around
liquor.
A bottle of tequila. And
uh-huh.
He tried the Blanco. Last night we had sort of a celebratory pregame show.
Sure.
And he said that the Fina Estampa Blanco is better than Patron. And what's
wow.
interesting about that is this stuff is $15 or $20 cheaper a bottle than Patron.
Oh, wow.
But it's a better quality.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, a lot of liquor is going to be about, like, the brand, the sort of, what's the word? You know,
the
like
marketing budget.
The marketing, basically. And it's sort of like the
that's all
going to
drive up the cost of the liquor, too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep.
It's interesting.
So, it's yeah, these guys are definitely worth checking out. And they have a website as well, which you can find the address to at
liquorsnob.com. Yeah.
All right, what's next?
We're going to go to reallynatural.com. Jessica Brooks has been covering the latest and greatest crazy organic products over there.
Did she find more hemp lingerie?
I'm afraid not this week.
No!
No hemp lingerie! Anyways, keep it simple, keep it stupid, simple green toe shoes. I'm the kind of guy who doesn't like to tie his shoes. Anybody else?
I don't wear shoes.
I'm wearing slippers.
Essentially, these green toe shoes, I kind of wear what I call man clogs. Like, you can see these, like, are, like, these are from Keen, right?
So they've got a heel, essentially.
It's like a heel, but there's
but
no laces,
clogged,
whatever.
Yeah.
You just, like, slip right into them. A lot, you know, I guess if it was a clog, they wouldn't necessarily have a back on
them. Yeah, they don't have
a
back.
Strong back. But these simple green toe shoes at reallynatural.com, basically, like, one of the shoes is called the Shuff, and it's like a kind of a man clog, kind of, you know, no back, clog kind of front. It's actually made from boiled, humanely harvested wool felt uppers. Okay. And it's also got a bunch of natural cork and stuff, so the shoe's actually pretty much biodegradable.
Float? Can you walk on water with those?
You can probably walk across the bay.
Wow.
Just the bay.
Only though. Wine bays.
Only wine bays. But Timberland also recently has added a nutrition label to their shoes.
Like,
right,
which, chew on these when you're trapped in the woods?
Which says, like, how environmentally friendly the shoe is. That's how their the nutrition of their shoe
cool.
is like, you know, if you threw this thing in the whatever, it's made of 31%, you know, this recycled, or, you know, you could basically eat it. I don't know.
Why is there 1% uranium listed there?
I don't know. But anyways, these the simple green toe shoes, there's a lot of these shoes coming out where they're made of wool and cork and, you know, more renewable things. They're also put together with, you know, materials that won't leach into your feet that are like toxins, like glues and other stuff. And let me tell you, you know, I look at your feet and I'm thinking, you don't want toxin in those feet.
Thanks.
Captain.
Maybe it's too late.
Yeah, it's probably too late.
I have the Quasimodo of feet.
But I think, you know, as this product, you know, this product category takes off, like organic clothing, you know, it's at some point, you know, you're going to be wearing everything. You go out into a strong rain, you'll probably just dissolve and, like, go right back into the earth.
you just go barefoot.
You just go
How
barefoot.
Well do these things hold up? I mean, that's a real nice question. Do you know anything about that?
We don't know. Jess did actually go to the store and try them on, said they were super comfortable, and said that they were, you know, good-looking enough so that she's added them to her Amazon wish list.
Hmm.
Interesting.
If anyone wants to buy anything...
For Jessica Brooks.
Jessica Brooks, Amazon.com. I'm sure she's got a wish list.
The other thing, we've been ranting the last couple of minutes about music and different things.
See, that was off-air.
I know that was off-air, but...
But
that,
I'm telling them.
That's on the other podcast that we do that they don't hear, right?
Bitching and Moaning.
the Bitching and Moaning podcast.
Blog Pirate Outtakes.
So, Rock and Roll Recycling basically takes your old CDs, records, whatever, and turns them into coasters, snack bowls. I think this would be perfect for Liquor Snob,
yeah,
actually, because, like,
interesting.
A really cool Marvin Gaye record and, you know, perhaps a Cavassier.
Yeah, you know, you get your coaster out and it's like, hey, check out my old Yngwie Malmsteen CD.
Is that slammed towards my direction?
Maybe.
Yeah, no. But the questions remain, what do you do with those old records? One, you can take them back and sell them to the CD store and still keep the CDs and MP3s around. Or you can basically... you know, turn them into snack bowls and coasters.
Get donated to your library.
You know, that's interesting. One of the things that when I read Really Natural is that I go, recycling isn't just about, like, taking something and crushing it up and turning it into something else. Sometimes it's just, like,
transferring.
Transmutating.
Transmutating. Transmogrify.
So, yes, the form and turning it into something else. Like turning, you know, records into things you can use for skates.
Transform.
I don't know. Yeah, something like that. But it's interesting to know that, you know, like, you can turn CDs into, you know, a Sunmobile, but maybe a coaster's more, you know, useful.
That actually reminds me, there was something I saw recently, I don't remember if it was on Super Cool Baby or not, but somebody was talking about how you could take, it was on Parent Hacks, which is a site that I've been checking out a little, I'm expecting a baby, surprise. And
good God.
Yeah. And I'm very excited. And I've sort of started checking out blogs like Super Cool Baby and this other one, Parent Hacks. And there was something about talking about, you know, making a baby mobile out of everyday objects because the baby is just as interested with it. And one of them was, you know, hanging CDs and things are very shiny and interesting. And
or steak knives.
Yeah, steak knives and actually chainsaws.
This is another interesting thing, like, that really... You know, your kids are interested in things that don't necessarily have to be kids' things. It's just that they need to be safe.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? So, throw records at them.
But only Marvin Gaye records.
And a bottle of Cavassier. Anyways, reallynatural.com. Lots of cool stuff. They've even got some crossover organic kids' t-shirts and some onesies. One from they found at Super Cool Baby, which is nice.
Clever.
Writers are talking to one another. Connections are being formed. And also these Yo Mama Co. I think I'm saying that right?
Yo Mama Co.
Organic Kids t-shirts. You know, they got some cooler prints on here from Stars to Soul Baby or Soul Rebel to, I don't know. What was that one organic wine shirt? Future Wine Taster or something we got
nice.
For, like, you know, our kid. Loved it. That's it. Really. cool stuff at Really Natural. There's a lot of organic clothing, and check it out.
All right. Let's go back to Jake for a minute. Now, usually when we have guests, we kind of like to, you know, for them to sort of bring a little part of the blog with them so that we can sort of experience it here.
We're often envious of the liquor snob drinking.
Yeah. So what have you brought with you today, Jake?
Well, today I've got a bottle of pink vodka, which is... they call themselves the world's perfect party spirit, but basically what it is it's caffeinated.
So it's not related to the singer?
No, not related to the singer. That would be kind of cool, though, too.
Disappointment.
A little cross-marketing.
Maybe there's an angle you can work there.
So basically what this is, for people who, you know, want the pick-me-up of Red Bull and vodka, but don't necessarily like Red Bull or whatever, this is actually caffeinated vodka with guarana, which is the same stuff that's in Red Bull. So
I thought taurine was like... the stuff in Red Bull.
Yeah, it's got all those things. These guys don't have taurine. I'm sure that's something that the people at Red Bull made up.
It's made from...
So basically, this is caffeinated vodka. It's going to give you the boost if you're getting off work on a Friday to go. You want to go out and you're, you know, going out with your friends. Have a little bit of this stuff to kind of keep awake. I actually hadn't planned to stop and pick up a can of Red Bull so we could mix caffeinated vodka with Red Bull and you guys could hear my heart explode on the internet, but I didn't get a chance to pick it up, so we're just going to be drinking it straight. We're actually going to do a little tasting this morning here at
I got some glasses here. So.
And one thing that I noticed as I'm looking at this, the cap could actually double as a shot glass. It looks like it's, I don't know, I'm going to ballpark that it's a little bit bigger than your typical shot glass, but
don't spill it all over the studio.
Man, it's really clear. It's not that pink, actually.
Yeah, I expected the vodka itself to be pink, but it's actually clear.
That's good, I guess. Pink vodka would probably be concerning. Hey, let's drip a little vodka on the power supply unit for Jay's laptop.
Hey.
Awesome.
Took care of that for you.
There goes the block fire.
Well, there's your problem.
This thing goes. The whole thing goes.
All right, take a glass.
All right, so I'm going to let you guys take a little peek into the tasting method that we have here at the Liquor Snob Bosses.
Excellent.
You're going to be honorary interns for today.
Yay! Do I get a T-shirt?
Intern Russ and Intern Jay. Yeah, we can get you a T-shirt.
Sweet.
So the first thing we do is, obviously, we toast.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to a good podcast.
Give it. Put your nose in there. Give it a smell. Can you smell it?
Okay, yeah.
That smells like vodka.
Yeah, yep. It's definitely got a alcoholic kind of nose.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's got a little
straight up,
a little bit of ester there, but it's not too bad. You know, it's very not the kind of stuff that burns your nose hair.
For me,
hold on, I've got a cut.
It's instantly triggering memories of like Caldwell's vodka and Mountain Dew, and it's probably not something I want to explore. I'm gonna shut that memory right down. Hang on, and it's off.
No, it's not. You know what? That's interesting. It's also kind of gone down a little bit since we've. It's breathing, maybe?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's probably there was a little bit of alcohol.
Oh, sure, right on the top.
In the top. So one of the tricks that I learned as I was sort of learning how to do this.
We're putting our hands over the top of the glass, right?
Yep. And this isn't something you'd normally do with a vodka, but I just kind of want to show you guys. You put your hand over the top of the glass and seal it in there, and then if you bring it to your nose right after that, captures some
holy
of the
cow.
Smell.
Holy cow,
it goes
right
to
your nose.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
So it is off-gassing in there.
Yeah, and basically what that is, it just lets you kind of capture, you harness
not
the
your,
power
not
of the
your
booze.
Typical type of gas.
No, definitely not.
You're harnessing the power of the booze for a little bit, and then you're putting your nose right into it, so you get a real flavor shot of what it's all about.
Interesting.
So now I guess what the next step would be, you know, you take a little sip, swish it around, see if there's any flavors that call out to you for what it is. You know,
okay.
Vodka's a neutral spirit. There's probably not going to be a ton of flavor in there, but just see if there's anything that it makes you think of.
All right, we're going to take a sip now.
Wow, you know, it's definitely got a little fruit, something nice about it. Like, it's not... It's almost like one of those, like, scented waters, you know? Like, it's got a little flavor of the fruit, but
just
it's not
hair.
Overpowered.
Just
a hair.
Hair.
You know, I'm picking up... It's a nice, clean vodka. I mean, basically, what you're shooting for most of the time, unless it's a flavored vodka, is you don't want it to taste like anything. I mean, that's that's how you differentiate yourself from other vodkas, is you taste less like something than the other vodkas do.
Goes right up to the nose like it should. Yeah. You know, nice little straight shot.
It's very tasty. And
plenty zingy on the tongue, too.
Yeah.
It is pretty tasty.
This isn't something you'd probably typically drink straight. You'd eat, at least put it on the rocks with a little, maybe a splash club soda or something like that. But it'd be great in a martini.
Let's say if you were rolling around, like, on a sidewalk, you fell into a gutter, you still had the bottle with you. I could drink this straight.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there is that. There is that. It's very tasty, and this is actually seems to me, not only, I was saying before, like, you drink it before you go out.
Right.
But it also seems like a good thing to do, you know, some days you need the hair of the dog.
Just before work, like, you mean?
You throw this, yeah, exactly.
Just before you go out for the evening?
You throw this into a Bloody Mary, and all of a sudden you've got the Bloody Mary going, plus you've got the caffeine to
Do we know how much caffeine is actually in here? I mean,
no,
that's
something
I always keep an eye on.
Try to dig up. I can get in touch with the people at Pink. And their website is actually perfectpartyspirit.com. And according to the bottle, they don't tell you how much caffeine is in there, but they do tell you that it's versatile, fashionable, and extravagant. So keep that in mind.
I'll tell you what, it's so extravagant. I'm considering just throwing this glass against the wall because I'm that extravagant.
Yeah, extravagant. And I actually, going back to Alcoholica Esoterica, the liquor wife hates me, by the way. I just keep spouting out silly little liquor.
I can only imagine the bore you've become.
Well, she doesn't hate me. But anyway, the reason they used to smash glasses after they made a toast was you didn't want to dilute your toast or dilute the good wishes that you had by drinking out of the glass again. So you drink your drink and then you smash it. It's never used again. It's kind of like dropping a penny into a fountain. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Except I think that people actually dig up those pennies.
Well, yeah.
And use them for stuff.
I've been known to go into a fountain.
Yeah.
Oh, is that on the air?
That was on the air. Let's take another sip, see if it has any further taste. Oh my God. Jay just drank the whole thing.
That's good.
It's
like
good
that.
Stuff, you know? Sometimes if you're drinking vodka, it can be just so, it's weird to call it out in an alcohol, but it's so alcoholic that you're just kind of
cringy.
Like, but this stuff is very smooth, very tasty.
I was just trying to see if I'm going to feel any caffeine, any of the
I got you. You're going for that.
I'm trying to see if I get that paired with a giant coffee I just had.
Now, maybe I'm crazy, but I almost get I'm reminded of rose water.
Really?
That's what I'm saying. It's like that scent.
There's like a very light kind of, you know, fruity, flowery, effervescent.
I don't think they put any fruit into it, I think it's just part of their distilling process probably. There's some kind of character in it that's very, you're right, it's kind of light, it's kind of just tasty.
You know? Excellent. Now, what would you mix it with if you were going to mix it?
Like I said, I think it'd be great in a Bloody Mary. I typically just drink my vodka on the rocks with a twist of lime. But I think some good mixers for this, you know, I think it would make an absolutely, they're kind of going for the market of people who like Pink. So, you know, Cosmos, Flirtini, you know, the type of stuff that I don't really drink. But I think it would also
the
work
red
out
shirt,
well.
The way to kick it up a notch, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm got a little,
I got a little something going on.
I'm feeling it. I think things are going to get a little more limber for the rest of the podcast.
All right, Jay, take us over to shavingstuff.com.
Yeah, so we've been covering tons of stuff in the shaving world with Shaving Stuff, and it's on.
And I should say before he goes on, thanks to everybody for all your comments when we had Russell on the show. He really enjoyed coming, and a lot of nice comments from people. Thank you very much.
Yeah, everybody wrote in. It was great. Review of Philips Norelco Body Groom. So, you know, we've covered the body groom.
Is this chest hair? Body groom.
You can pretty much buttocks, cheeks, everywhere.
Or perhaps a certain other nether region.
Other regions. Mm-hmm. The Philips body groom is essentially designed to groom any place that there's hair in a man's or woman's body. But
is there a bathing suit area.
That's true. That'd probably be a good place. Yeah.
Anyways,
I try to keep my bikini lines nice and clean.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you're insecure about grooming your body, the body groom's not for you. But the Philip Body Groom is a hot seller. It's a big product. This is something where men want something better than just a beard trimmer. They want something where they can, sculpt.
Yeah. I feel that. I mean, I have a beard. I have a goatee. And it's a challenge to try to keep up with that and really meet all the needs of the different kinds of hair that you have in your face and whatever, you know. I also am bald, and I shave my head. Not bick it, but, you know, shave it. And it is I'm always looking for a shaver that's going to do the job, it's going to hold a good charge, it's going to, high quality.
That's the Philips Body Groom. So essentially, this thing is meant for you to be able to go bare anywhere you want to go. Legs,
ear
chest.
Ear hair.
Huh?
Ear hair.
Ear hair.
I don't have any, but I might one day.
You could go in there, maybe.
How wide is it?
it's too big for your ears.
Damn.
Yeah. But
no, I don't have it.
Anyways, Russ likes to follow up on products. He follows up. There's a guy who writes this huge review at Amazon.com about all the places he's gone with using the body groom. He does not recommend the buttocks and cheeks region. He thought it going smooth there was a mistake after it happened.
I don't think I really would want to shave my butt.
Do you have a hairy butt?
I got a little hair back there.
I don't have much hair back there.
I'm going to plead the fifth, I don't think you would want to shave that.
Like,
either.
I can neither confirm nor...
He
said with
Sasquatch,
the hairiest beard I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
You got a hairy ass. Just admit it to the millions of
You're
people
listening.
You're
growing hair everywhere, and the body groom is for you.
Yeah, I'm basically Sasquatch, and I don't think... Like, just imagining it growing back in, like, you're sitting on that area all the time, that's just going to irritate it.
You know, and, like, hair is for sweat and wicking.
That's
and
right.
You need that for certain things, and, like, you don't want to shave that.
Hey,
anyways.
But if you do, this is the product.
This is the product, the body groom. He covers it. He's covered it a bunch. There's a lot of articles. Also, hey, it's getting to be winter. I've noticed that, and Captain Dry Skin over here.
I have very dry skin.
He has very dry skin. I'm always looking for, like, face lotions, hand lotions.
Definitely.
Like, my legs get dry, I'll say it. My legs.
Sure.
You know, I get dry in the legs. I'm always throwing a little intensive care down there.
That's important.
But he
Don't
goes
forget,
over,
just after a shower, lock in the moisture.
We got a new review of Men's Science Advanced Face Lotion. Restores dry skin, nourishes, has sun blocker. You know, as... When you get into the winter and you're going out skiing, for instance, or snowboarding,
you really want
to be lotioned up, and you want to make sure that you're wearing sunblock.
That's right. You don't realize you go out there on the slopes all day, and you are going to get toasted.
Yep, you're
going
to get toasted.
Just like I'm getting toasted right now drinking pink vodka.
So basically, you can use this Men's Science face lotion, and they also have a Men's Science sunblock, SPF 30, that goes hand-in-hand with their lotion. Some face lotions, I'm not sure that Men's Science supplies it, but basically they'll also have a sunblock with the lotion, like combined right in there if you want the two together. In this case, you're going to do a little tube of sunblock and a little lotion.
Yep.
It also has basically...
Well, I think they have different... You know, it's nice to have them separate because there are times when you're trying to get lotion and hydration in your skin, and there's other times where you're just out on the slopes and you just want to, like, reapply.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fair person. I mean, I get a sunburn when the drapes are closed, so I see why
you're
you would
burning
want it.
Right now.
Yeah, actually, I think I might have a little sunburn from the glare from the monitor. So,
the CRT is burning, Jake.
So, I mean, sometimes it might make sense just to always have it on. You know, I do like the idea of having them combined, just because you're always.
I see.
It on,
I see.
I mean?
It's like a natural step you take.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyways, this lotion from Men's Science also includes vitamin A, C, E. Glycerin, hydrosilicones. It's got everything in there to basically keep your face on your face.
So now, does it have caffeine and guarana in it?
It does not.
Caffeinated lotion.
Point pink vodka.
Men's Science, we call on you. Caffeinated lotion.
Honestly, a lot of the men's lotions do have caffeine in them. It makes your face tingle. Russ has given me several of the different lotions that have caffeine in them.
I had no idea that
right
this was
now,
even possible.
Well,
I thought I was just, you know.
Now, you guys have had a recent, like, crossover, right? Like,
yeah,
you and Russ?
Yeah, Russ and I, basically what happened was Russ did a little piece on tweezing, and he had the idea that maybe it's a good idea for you to get a little bit of liquor into yourself for bravery, because you're basically taking a sharp piece of metal and jamming it into your face. It was a
shot and tweeze?
Yeah, and, well, you could also, his thought was you could... make the tweezers antiseptic by dipping it into your drink before you start going.
Just the
that
first
ingrown
time, right?
Hair. Well, yeah, I don't
because you don't
I would...
really want like hair in your drink.
Yeah, so
even though it might be
do
the
you
hair
tweeze
of the dog.
This thing on your face up
no,
there?
No, the unibrow stays unibrow.
That's an original origi unibrow.
Exactly. So basically, what we did was, you know, he asked me what I thought would be a good idea for coverage. I mean, for like a pairing between this tweezer system. It's a Leatherman tweezer, and I said Screech Rum, which is a rum made in Newfoundland. It's named Screech Rum because of the noise you make after you drink it. So I think it would be good. Like, you do a shot of that, you're totally distracted by the horrible, horrible flavor of Screech Rum, and then you can just yank out hairs with impunity. And actually, the Screech Rum review on liquorsnob.com is the only review that we ever wrote. Two of the interns, well, actually one of the interns and myself, drank an entire bottle of Screech Rum, wrote the review that night. It's the only one we've ever done drunk. There were some good points to it and some bad points to it. But
how was your spelling?
The spelling, it took, you know, we had to go back and do some fact-checking afterward. I believe one of the quotes was that Screech Rum is made in Newfoundland, but I think we thought it was hysterically funny at the time to say it tasted like Toronto with a Detroit chaser, and I don't even know what that meant.
Even the quaffer couldn't help. I remember this review.
Yeah, I'm derailing us this segment. But
the
stuff is
deadly, and it burns like napalm going down.
We ended up trying to find something to mix it with that would hide the
taste. Screech Rum mixes with nausea, exuberance, anger, melancholy, regret, and nausea. Obviously, the editors were not awake at that point.
Oh, no, we wanted to double up on nausea.
Oh, double up on nausea.
But we tried to mix it with tomato soup. We tried to mix it, anything to try to cover the taste. We did a shot of Screech with a tomato soup chaser, and it couldn't stand up.
This is actually like, what, like less than a couple of weeks after you launched?
Yeah, this was fairly early on.
This is like you were, what, ramshackling around liquor stores finding like bad things
to
drink?
Well, our intern Eric actually told me about this stuff. He's like, you know, I've heard about this stuff. I've got a bottle of it. I've been scared to open it from the stories that I read. And so we delved into it, and it was an experience. But anyway, that's what we think would be a great combination with, like, the combination of yanking hairs out of your face with this horrifying rum that will just distract you from the pain.
Yeah, so, you know, tweezing, shaving, Screech Rum. That's what you want to do.
Yeah, pretty much. Just keep a bottle in the bathroom.
All right, I'm going to loop back for the caffeine. I actually have this stuff. It's a multi-purpose facial formula. Basically, it's from Kiehl's. It's called Winter and Summer Aftershave. So the other thing is, like, you know, you don't have to use an aftershave that basically, like, dries your whole skin out or makes you, like, hey, I'm pouring alcohol on my face. Not that you wouldn't, like, our snob right over here. But the extraordinary...
That is Jake's aftershave.
So
Screech Rum.
Basically, the multi-purpose facial formula for men from Kiehl's has mineral clay, absorbs excess oil, formulated with eucalyptus extract and caffeine to waken and refresh.
That's the pink talking.
Yeah, that's the pink talking. This microalgae that's also in there. So, like, I've seen caffeine in a bunch of these different things, and it really does make your skin tingle. Like, they have caffeine body lotion scrubs for
caffeinated soap and whatnot.
Exactly. Same thing.
Intriguing.
Same thing.
Awesome. Does your body just absorb the caffeine through the skin?
Absolutely. At single serve coffee at the offices, we have just a vat of
pods.
We just roll on them. That's how we start tasting in the morning. Occasionally, I put a pod between the cheek and gum, sort of like a big skull bandit, and then I just start drinking coffee.
Well, whenever you have a wet pod shirt contest, you let me know.
Yeah, the wet pod shirt contest, drinking, shaving, tweezing blog.
Brilliant. What else is going on at shavingstuff.com?
Not much else, actually. That's sort of where I'm ending up. I followed through on my end of the deal. The caffeine, the Norelco body groom. I'm thinking I need to probably leave now and see about shaving some parts.
All right. Well, just, you know, careful where you put that body groomer.
Not on the cheeks.
Okay. Next up, we're going to take us to one of our favorite segments, questions. Obviously, we tried to...
Back in black.
Back in black! Obviously, we tried to cater the questions towards the person that's in the studio so that we can sort of ask some things, get them to know some stuff, and that's what we have here with our first one. Do you ever do any local events in bars or taverns in the Mass area? And this is from Kim S. from Quincy. Quincy, Mass.
Well, we haven't done anything yet. We've been thinking about it. It'd be kind of fun to go and, you know, rent out a bar and do an event, do some giveaways, you know, maybe have some of the liquor distributors that we have a good relationship come and you know, give tastings and things like that. It's not anything that we've worked on yet. It's, you know, it's... With the interns, it's kind of like herding cats trying to get anything done. I'm lucky to just be able to get stuff up on the web. Trying to bring it out into the real world might be a little bit...
Penny Arcade has a meetup. Why don't we have one?
Well, we're working on it.
Dude.
We're working on it.
Giant show.
The Blogpire Convention?
Yeah.
Blogvention?
Awesome. You could go and get your back shaved and then do a shot.
And then slip into some hemp lingerie.
Yeah, exactly.
And have a baby.
Yeah, like fit like 15 booths of fun.
While playing poker and drinking espresso.
Wow.
That would be pretty sweet.
That's a can't-miss kind of proposition.
Nice.
So it's something we're thinking about for next year, but we haven't done anything yet. But if you do see us wearing our Liquor Snob hoodie t-shirt that just says drunk on the chest, which you can buy at Cafe Press. Just come say hi, and we'll probably buy you a drink.
Sweet. Well, we'll definitely keep our ears open. I think it would be a lot of fun to hold some events, and I hope we get some going. Next up, I've heard people say that both you can and can't legally order through the web. Can you order liquor over the web? And then what about things like absinthe? And this is from Mark in Chicago, Illinois. So let's talk first about ordering through the web. This is a question, you know, I get back and forth. We live in Massachusetts.
Yeah, we live in a very puritanical state.
Very crazy so, puritanical.
You know, if you go to a site like Woot Wine, that's something we cover
Woot.
Every week.
We did talk about Woot a couple
yep.
of podcasts
we did, yeah.
ago.
We cover that every week at Cheap Fun Wines. Woot. And one of the things is we get frustrated because Massachusetts is almost never on the list because the distributors of whatever, you know, wine it is can't send to Mass. And what the thing is, you can do it, but a lot of it's just kind of started.
It is legal to send stuff like to Massachusetts,
right? But a lot
but
of places
depends,
don't have the resources
to do it
yet because it's just something that, like, within the last even maybe 6 months to a year was when you could do it. Before that, you could not order liquor over the web, whether it was a wine club, whether it was.
Is this just in Massachusetts you're talking about?
I'm just talking about
okay.
Massachusetts. The rest of the country, there's at least I know there are at least 20.
Let me read them off to you right now.
There are at least
that's the phone in the office. We're gonna let that go.
That's the Blackfire phone.
The black phone. Go quickly.
Sell,
turn
sell.
That statue's head. Put on your costume. Jake, put your clothes back on.
Grab the pink.
So anyway,
I like that you kept that with us because, for the record, we didn't say this before, but I said this like between segments.
Wow.
Pink vodka. It actually tastes pink. I get it. I maybe it's crazy. Maybe it's the marketing speaking to me. But
and the caffeine level in the room has gone up.
Yeah, we're definitely
we're a little
going a little faster. I'm just saying it tastes like rose water. This like a pink. Anyway, I'm sorry. So let me ask you this: the shipping. So number one, is it like a federal law that you can't ship liquor?
Nope, you can do it pretty much anywhere. There's actually some pretty interesting rules about buying liquor online, and one of my favorites is. When they deliver it, like, say the FedEx guy shows up with your box of, you know, six bottles of wine or whatever, if you're drunk when you answer the door, they can't give it to you legally.
Weird. I had
wow.
no idea about that.
Yeah. What if you're drunk when an Amazon book shows up?
That's fine. That's cool.
Okay. All right.
If the box says, you know, liquor, get a signature on the outside, they have these special stickers. If it says that, and you're visibly drunk, I don't know what you need to be doing. Like, maybe you have a shot glass in your hand, and you're
maybe there's a raging
FedEx
party
guy.
Going on in your house.
Yeah, so, you know.
I've timed it to arrive at precisely 7 p.m., just when my party's beginning.
Exactly. Well, if you're drunk when they show up with it, they won't give it to you. They'll take it back.
Or perhaps if you're, like, 5.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
obviously, they're not going to drop alcohol off to anyone who's underage.
They definitely, they card you, and it's very, you know, it's actually made it interesting trying to get bottles of liquor for review, because people say, you know, I sent it, but it was brought back because...
You have to be present to sign for mm-hmm. it, et cetera.
Yeah, they're not going to just leave it on the stoop. You
no.
know, it's not one of those situations.
Was it just a big wrapped, like, brown bag with a bottle and a FedEx label, like, hanging out of the top?
Yeah, pretty much. It's funny, so... you know, we get all these packages, and it's just fun because you pick it up and you shake it, and the box gurgles a little bit, and you're like, oh, this is a good one. I like this one.
Oh, wow.
This one's a good one.
But now, anyway, so you can order stuff on the web. One of our favorite sites is Internet Wines and Spirits. There's also Woot Wines, which, you know, we do that every week.
Woot.
We discovered another one recently called Wine Still Sold Out, which has a similar Woot
yeah,
model.
Yeah, I noticed that. That looks pretty cool.
Where they just do a different deal every day. They put it up there, and they just keep it up there until the last bottle of wine is gone.
Hmm.
And they typically do a little higher end, because on Cheap Fun Wines, we're looking for, you know, wines that are
cheap
under $20.
And fun?
Yeah, they're cheap and fun.
And luscious.
Whereas a lot of these are like $60 bottles of wine that are discounted down to 25 or 30 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They, I think they knock 30 to 70% off.
Scorpion in every bottle.
Now, but it's tough to get it delivered to certain states.
Sure.
Vermont, no. Massachusetts,
so
no.
Basically your answer is, you know, look at your state laws or ask your state, you know, ask this town hall
it's
or something.
It's actually going to pretty much usually list it on the site, too. Like,
and
they'll
that's
just tell you, you know, like, we're not shipping a Mass.
That's something I've been thinking about covering, too. Yeah, they will put it, if you go to the shipping section, they'll tell you what states they can
sure,
and can't
right.
go to. And that's actually one of the things that we've been planning on doing a roundup on is just...
Every state?
Well, just all the different sites that where you can buy stuff.
Because
different stores have different selections.
Oh, right, right.
You might be able to find pink on one internet store, but it won't be featured in another one because they don't
sure.
have to deal with them. So you kind of have to go and sift through and kind of know what the strengths and weaknesses of each one is.
Interesting.
But that's something that we've been planning on getting going. We just haven't, you know, the interns, they just play ping pong all day, as far as I can tell.
Beer pong.
Well, yeah, beer pong.
You seem to sleep a lot in the morning.
Sport of kings. Sport of kings.
Yeah, let's move on to the second part, which is about absinthe. So first of all, you know, let's explain to people, what is absinthe?
Absinthe is...
Besides magical green fairy.
Yeah,
it's... Yeah, you didn't have a... Did you have a good time on the absinthe, or not so much?
We had a fantastic time on the absinthe. I'm gonna tell a little story. We decided to do a feature on absinthe for St. Patrick's Day, because we figured absinthe is green, St. Patrick's Day.
Well, before you even do that, what is it? Let's explain to people.
Absinthe is a liqueur. The ones... It's illegal in the States, so I'm probably
gonna...
But
if you got, like, Pernod or whatever, like, that's very much like the flavor and texture of it.
Yeah, it's licorice flavored liqueur.
Like anise?
Yeah, it's got anise in it.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, but the other thing is, real absinthe, this is something that Pernod doesn't have, has something called wormwood in it, which is basically a poison, but it's also a mild hallucinogen.
That's what I like in my liquors.
The thing is, people talk about, like, you see things on absinthe, you really don't. Anyone that I've talked to has ever done it. It's not a hallucinogen. It's not like you're doing LSD or something. It's more like, it just kind of... Well, to start off, the absinthe that we had was somewhere in the neighborhood of 130 proof.
Yeah, wow.
That is not something you want to be taking a lot of.
That's close to 75% pure alcohol with this other, you know, with anise and with wormwood in it. So things just kind of, there is kind of a click after you have a few of them.
Yep.
Where you just, all of a sudden, you know, before you were kind of drunk, and now you're just like,
hello.
Hooray. You know, like, it's interesting. I heard about a guy who wrote an entire novel, after reviewing absinthe. He drank half a bottle of it and just sat down and wrote a historical, like, fiction.
Novel.
Wow.
Huh.
Maybe this could help me with my Star Trek fan fiction. just kidding.
I can finally get to Paul and Kirk together.
It's beautiful. It's you get the stuff and it's just like this beautiful green color.
Yeah.
And then
put a little sugar in and it also changes up.
Yeah, and you put a little cold water in, like ice water.
Cold water, yep.
And it changes absolutely to this milky, whitish-green-blue color that's just, it's absolutely beautiful. And that's before you even drink the stuff. And we didn't put the sugar in at all, because we sort of, one of the things that we read as we were doing our research is the one thing that you hear about is people taking an absinthe spoon, dumping the absinthe through a sugar cube, and then you light the sugar cube and it runs down into the absinthe. And that sounds really cool.
Yeah, but it burns off all the stuff, right?
It burns off all the booze, A. Two, it makes it taste like burnt sugar.
Interesting.
It changes
the flavor.
For
people who don't like anise.
And D, after you've had a few of them, do you really want to be lighting something that's 75% alcohol? I mean, just when
that's a good point. It's not something you want to mess with.
Public service message from the liquor snob.
Yeah, so I would say, you know, we had two bottles of it. There were four of us. We each drank more or less half a bottle. And things like... The interns that I had with me, I handpicked a special brigade of people who knew their way around a bottle, and I really thought they were going to be able to keep their stuff together so we could do a review later on in the night. And all I can say is, when we had the absinthe, St. Patrick's Day, the wheels came off. I mean,
wow.
People, I'm not sure exactly what it was. Like, people who I've seen drink more than should be allowable by law, and I think is allowable by law, were doing things like... Intern Doug blind tackled the TV because he was trying to turn around and he just lost his balance and tackled the television. Another one of the interns fell and slid across the coffee table like a penguin, knocking glasses over on the side as he went. Like, we derailed. The entire evening took a left turn. The hostess of the party, not so happy with me for being the one that brought the absinthe.
Perhaps that's your wife.
And, you know, things... But it was fun. It's something to do in moderation. But that being said, it's not legal in the States.
So this gets us back to shipping it. I mean,
and by the way, before we get to even shipping it, the hangover from half a bottle of absinthe, I think we said it on the site. We actually put up a white flag on the site and said that absinthe won that round. And one of the interns was heard to say that he felt like... the tauntaun that was cut open in Empire Strikes Back.
That's going to hurt.
And that Luke Skywalker had spent the night sleeping inside him.
And I thought these things smelled bad on the outside.
But anyway, getting it to the States, there are a lot of sites where you can go and order it. I think one of the things, it's one of those kind of nebulous gray areas. It's illegal to ship it to the States. I don't believe, and don't go out, you know, if you end up going to jail, don't, you know.
Disclaimer. Liquor snobs aren't responsible for any jail time that you accrue by drinking absinthe.
My idea, what I think is the case, is that it's not illegal to possess it. I think you can have a bottle of it. There's no way to get it.
So it's distribution laws for the most part.
Exactly. So, but there are sites that will basically just do the brown bag method. They just, you order it online, they will ship it to you, and the stuff is expensive. I mean, it can be as much as a couple hundred bucks for a bottle with shipping. But that said, it's like four times stronger than most booze that we've ever had.
Four times.
A couple times at least. But the...
Seven times.
Seven, niner.
Nine times. Like
six
ten times.
Six times, seven times, eight times, punch!
Anywho, what they'll do is it's kind of like... You know, I don't know if you've ever had any experience with ordering pornography, but it comes in just a plain brown wrap.
Now we're in pornography. You.
Welcome to the blog pyre.
No comment
anyway,
on the blog
they just,
pyre.
They don't put any markings
on the
outside.
Yeah, so it's just an unmarked package.
So you can get insurance on it. So if
some guy
stopped,
drops
border,
it off, you hear this thump on your thing, a whistle sounds, and then it's just...
Yeah, exactly.
When the chopper comes by with a spotlight on your front stoop as you pick up the package, you should probably put your hands in the air.
Sometimes something like that, like one of those packages will be caught in customs, but then that's why you put insurance on the package, and they'll just send you another one because it'll get returned to them.
Ah.
So it's possible. It takes some doing. If you're really interested in it, it's an interesting experience by far, but don't expect that you're going to, drink
absinthe. It's basically just really strong alcohol.
Yeah, but there's more to it. There's just something in there that goes beyond the booze. I mean, there is something to the wormwood theory, but it's just, it's called thujone. It's thujone, and I don't know exactly what it is about it that's in the wormwood, but it's basically another poison for your body to try to process.
Now, I did hear an interesting story. I think Wired, if I remember correctly, was covering an individual who was from the United States. He went down to New Orleans. He did all this research in, 200-year-old places, because it wasn't always illegal here, and it was French originally, so New Orleans, obviously being a French place, had a lot of this. He found an old original bottle of this stuff, and he had it scientifically analyzed.
Yeah,
some lab, and now he's moved to France. And
he did that. He reverse engineered absinthe,
and now he's got his own absinthe that he's making that supposedly is much more authentic.
Ted Bro, he was actually, I've been in contact with him. He was actually the one who sort of made some recommendations for me about the absinthe that I tried, and
wow,
it was actually two of his brands that we reviewed.
Excellent. And did you like them?
They were fantastic.
Wow.
I can see why, Van Gogh cut off his ear. I can see why Poe died in the gutter. I can understand. It's a magical elixir.
But let's be, it's also a black hole. You've got to enjoy it from the edge, but don't cross that event horizon.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Event Horizon. That was a great but bad movie.
Makes me want to tear my eyes out right now.
Oh my God.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to thank Jake Jameson coming from liquorsnob.com. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having us, and keep drinking, keep reading, and we'll try to keep the content going for you.
Excellent. We definitely want to take thanks to the folks at Pink Vodka. It's fine vodka, and I must say I'm enjoying it right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm Russell Miner.
I'm Jay Brewer,
and we'll see you next time on the Blog Pyre Podcast. Oh, my web password. Jake, how's your mic?
My mic is fantastic. My headset is a little bit all-inclusive, so when I put it on, I can't hear anyone speaking, so I'm having to do the old...
I hope I'm chewing loud enough in there.
The old DJ move.
Yeah, DJ.
Sausage has overtaken my mouth.
Nice. Eekers. It's important that we're eating sausages before drinking vodka at 9:30 on Sunday morning.
Yeah, can we get a little exploding high five on that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cut that one. Mm-hmm. No, really, say what you were going to say. No, I would love to catch you, saying something stupid.
keep drinking and keep reading.
all the news that's fit to drink, liquorsnob.com.
Liquorsnob.com. And, of course, if you have any questions, you can always email us at questions@blogpire.com.
It's podcast@blogpire.com.
I'll have to bleep that. That's the pink talking. I'm Russell Miner.
I'm Jay Brewer.
Have a great time, and we'll see you next time.